coming closer to the existence of Allah. And in this Hadith al-Mi'raj, which is a detailed conversation between Allah and His Habib, here Allah Ta'ala says that there are four qualities, that are four groups of people. That is, if a person looks into these four categories, says, my love is certain for that group. What is that? Says, Ya Muhammad, وَجَبَتْ مَحَبَّتِي لِلْمُتَحَابِينَ فِي. Says, Ya Rasulullah, my love is certain for four groups of people. First of all, it's those who love each other. مُتَحَابِينَ فِي. And they love each other, not just random, it's for the sake of me. That is the criteria of their love, it's for the sake of God. That is, if I love someone, it is because Allah loves him. It is because he is a practicing Muslim. And then says, وَجَبَتْ مَحَبَّتِي لِلْمُتَقَاطِعِينَ فِي. Again, my love is certain for that individual who breaks relations for the sake of me. That is, if there is wrong in an individual, I break my ties with him because Allah does not want me to have ties with that individual. And then says, if ties are broken, my love is certain for that individual who patches and makes these broken ties. And finally says, وَجَبَتْ مَحَبَّتِي لِلْمُتَوَكِّلِينَ عَلَيْهِ. My love is certain for someone who relies upon me. We talked on this issue of tawakkul on and off. And that is, we have to teach ourselves to rely upon Allah. And then Allah says that when I love someone, it is not as such that I love him for a certain duration of time. He says that, وَلَيْسَ لِمَحَبَّتِي عَلَمٌ وَلَا نِعَالٍ. There is no end to that love. It is an eternal bond, an eternal devotion that I will have with those servants of mine. And that says, when I start loving someone and I find him, he is coming closer to me, he says, I put signposts in front of him and I drag him towards myself. That is, if he steps a step towards me, I will drag him hundreds of steps towards myself. كُلَّمَا رَفَعْتُ لَهُمْ عَلَمًا وَدَعْتُ لَهُمْ عَلَمًا. Now in the olden days, even today, in the seas, in the oceans, you find these lighthouses. And these lighthouses are created to guide the ship that are in the ocean, because in the dark, no one knows where the seabed is going to be, the seashore is going to be. So to avoid these ships wrecking into the seashore, they have these huge big signposts, the lighthouses, to guide the ships. Here Allah says that I act as a lighthouse. That is, I constantly guide these servants of mine who possess these qualities and who have this love of mine. And because of that love of mine, I also constantly guide them. That is, on and off, I keep on signposting them. There's a post there so that they see where that light is from and they head towards their destination. And again, when they come closer to me, I show them another sign so that they come even further closer to me. Now, when it comes to love, and that is loving the existence of Allah, because this entire creation that Allah has, it has been opened or based upon love. Says that how do we know that we love God? And if we love God, what do we do? Allah in Quran says, إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهُ. That is, if your claim is that you love me, be obedient to me. By that obedience, says, as a result of that obedience, Allah also will love you. يُحْبِبْكُمْ اللَّهُ. And this love is never a one-way love. You love Allah, definitely He also will love you. And when it comes to this love to Rasulullah, love to Ahlul Bayt, love towards your parents, love towards the fellow mu'mineen, etc., all these are the different levels of love and mahabbat that we have. So, if we, assuming this entire concept of love as a tree, if you love the roots and the stem of the tree, and you assume it to be the existence of God, and this tree has branches, has leaves. If you think that the leaves, for example, are mu'mineen and you love them, you cannot just love those leaves, you have to love those leaves that are attached to those branches, which is attached to that stem, again, which is connected to that root. You know, that whole package has to be loved. If you just take one of the branches of it and disregard the entire tree, it's going to be of no use. Because Allah says, in kuntum tuhibbuna Allah fattabi'uni, that obedience has to be there, that entire package has to be taken. If you think that this love is existing here. The other thing which I had in mind to mention over here today, it's ikhlas, sincerity. That is, in all of these worships that we perform, and again, in addition to the worships, whatever we do, this sincerity has to be there. Without ikhlas, no matter what a person does, will be thrown out to our faces. Ikhlas means sincerity. Ikhlas means the actions have to be pure. Now, to judge this and to understand what it means, for example, Allah has given you wealth. Sometimes He gives you a position, a rank, a nice job. Sometimes He gives you a good name in the community. Sometimes He gives you fame in the community. So with these four things, you can judge for yourself as to whether we are sincere or not. With this wealth that Allah has given to us, do we possess that ikhlas in spending it? Are we sincere in it? All this name, fame, or this rank that Allah has given to an individual, how sincere he is. That is, in all of these four categories, we have to look and see that how much a reflection of God exists in us. Or in simpler words, as Quran says, does it possess the color of Allah or does it not possess the color of Allah? Sibghat Allah, وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ مِنَ اللَّهِ سِبْغَةً. That is, the best of colors which a person can possess is the color of Allah. That is, the best of essences that we can have, the best of reflection we can be is the reflection of Allah. And if someone possesses that color of God, he will be rewarded based upon the amount of reflection he possesses. Now when we talk about ikhlas, sincerity, for example in prayers, we are said that you have to be sincere in your prayers. Does it mean that when I stand to say my prayers for 3 or 5 minutes, that ikhlas has to be present in that prayer only at that time? It doesn't. Ikhlas starts way before and it doesn't end with the prayer. We have to have this ikhlas continuing. That maintenance of that ikhlas also has to be there. So before I start for my prayer, or before I start my fast, I have to be sincere in being obedient to Allah. That is, in that wuzu, in that preparation for that prayer, in that preparation for that fast, all those stages of ikhlas, they have to be present. Now that I've offered my prayer in the best possible way, as I could, even after this, it doesn't end. We have to do something so that this prayer that was offered for Allah, it stays, it remains. We have to maintain it. As in our day-to-day affairs, making a house is easy, but maintaining it is tough. You can set up a center, an entity, you can register it quickly, you can have a one Ramadan program, but now to keep it running, maintaining it, that is tough. The same thing is in ikhlas, that you've done a wajib, you have to maintain it. There are certain things that if we do not observe them, we find that whatever is done is lost. We have a chapter in the books of ahadith in akhlaq, which is known as habt-e amal. Habt-e amal means many a times you do something for a lifelong all of a sudden, God forbid, as a result of disobedience to your parents, disobedience to the Imam, we do something and whatever was done will be thrown onto our faces. Nothing will be accepted. Just because of that one disobedience. And that is known as hadd-amal. Quran says, وَقَدِمْنَا إِلَىٰ مَا عَمِلُوا مِنْ عَمَلِهِ فَجَعَلْنَاهُ هَبَاءً مَنْثُورًا. That is, it's like this dust which has settled on a heavy rock. And this dust which is so light, for example, if you've done barbecue, you get all these ashes that are so light. And you have these ashes in that barbecue tray, for example. And you have a wind which blows, in a fraction of a second you find no ashes remain, everything is gone. Allah says the a'mal of this individual are exactly like that. That is, he's worked hard, he has made, he has prepared, he has sent, but nothing has remained. It's like that dust which has been blown and nothing remains from it. So ikhlas, before the action, has to be there. Before I start my a'mal, my prayers, my recitation, my fast, my services, when I'm performing them, that sincerity has to remain. And once I've done it, again I have to keep it, retain it, maintain it. To understand this, for example, sometimes you find that high up on a mountain, a spring, it may gush. Water, it may flow. And all the way from that mountain, from a height of, for example, 3,000 feet, you will find that that river flows and you get that pure water from the origin, the source of it, and all the way it flows, and by the time it gets to its destination, which is the bottom of the mountain, still you have got that pure water, you can drink it. Sometimes you find that the origin is good. Water starts flowing, it gets polluted, contaminated all the way through, gets to its destination, you can't consume it, you can't drink it. Sometimes you find that the origin is dirty, but it gets filtered all the way through, involved in that filters and pebbles and stones, and when it gets to its destination, it's clean. So that is also possible. But the best of it is that the origin of the a'mal should be pure, and the path on which this amal is passing, that too has to be pure, and the destination, again, that has to be pure. And if we find that khulus and that ikhlas and sincerity, and again, if we look into the teachings of Ma'sumin, here are six Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. Says al-iqa'u ala al-amal hatta yuris ashaddu min al-amal. That is, maintaining or keeping that amal, that sincerity and ikhlas of yours, it's tougher than the action itself. Because prayers, it may take just 5-7 minutes for you to do that. But maintaining that and keeping it, that is tough. So, ikhlas, if we enhance it, if we activate this ikhlas in ourselves, it has beautiful effects, like every good ikhlas, like every good action that we have, it has pests to it. Even ikhlas, it has pests. There are things that will destroy this ikhlas of ours. What is that? Riya. Riya means to show. That is, I do something so that others, they look at it, they see it. So that way, that ikhlas also will be ruined, as a result of which, that action which I do, that also will be lost. Now here, amidst the sayings that we have, the Prophet says that إِنَّ أَخْوَفَ مَا أَخَافُ عَلَيْكُمْ أَشْرِكُ الْأَصْغَرِ. Rasulullah says to his people that the most I fear for you all is that minor shirk. And people who are present over there, they say that, what is that? قَالُوا وَمَا الشِّرْكُ الْأَصْغَرِ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. And in reply, Rasulullah says, هُوَ الرِّيَا. That is riya. That is, you do something so that others look at you. May that be whatever you can think of. So that people, they look at you, they are happy with what you have done. And nothing of that was for Allah. All of that was to show to others. And then says, يَقُولُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ إِذَا جَازَ الْعِبَادِ بِأَعْمَالِهِمْ اذهبوا إلى, and Allah says on the day of judgment when he will be rewarding and will be punishing home and he will be rewarding there, and this person who has done and performed all his life says, you did that, but riya existed in it. Go and take your reward from that person who you performed it and for who you showed. I'm not going to give anything to you. That person who you showed it to, go and get your reward from him. فَانْظُرُوا هَلْ تَجِدُونَ عِنْدَهُمُ الْجَزَىٰ, and then go and see whether or not they can reward you. So, ikhlas has to be there in all of our a'mal. الْعِبَادَةُ الْخَالِسَةُ أَلَّا يَرْجُ الرَّجُلْ إِلَّا رَبَّهُ وَلَا يَخَافُ إِلَّا رَبَّهُ. That the most sincere of our ibadah, our servitude, is that whatever we do, hope is only from Allah. And we don't fear anything but the wrong that we do and the sins that are done by us. لَا يَسِيرُ الْعَبْدُ عَبْدًا خَالِصًا لِلَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ حَتَّى يَسِيرَ الْمَدْحُ وَالذَّبْحُ عِنْدَهُ سَوَاءٌ. If you want to judge and see that whether or not the a'mal we do, they are sincere, and whether or not ikhlas exists in them, Imam says, look into your performance. If you've done something, are you waiting for people to say that you've done a good job? Or do you fear people that they would blame you? If you are waiting for the people to glorify you, all you are expecting not to be blamed by the people, then know that there's something wrong in your needs. If it was for the sake of God, then you wouldn't worry what is going to happen. Now what we learn from Ashura is that when Allah Abdullah and Hussein was said that people, they came into our and I said that definitely you are going to lose 72 on one side, 30,000 on the other side. Imam says, I don't care, even if I lose, I don't care. Because what makes me happy and pleased is that I performed my duty. Now what people say, whether or not I win or lose, I don't care. That is that sincerity, the height of sincerity which we find and which exists in the existence of Qadha al-Qadr. Here, our first Imam, he says that the person who does not have ikhlas in his actions says, لَمْ يُقْبَلْ, that action will never be accepted from him. بِالْإِخْلَاسِ تَتَفَاضَ مَرَاتِبُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. If you want to judge how a person is, see how sincere he is, how much of an ikhlas exists in that individual. The actions of believers, they are graded by their ikhlas. So what shall we do to get this level of sincerity? Marhum Imam Khomeini, rahmatullah alayhi, he attained the rank of ijtihad at a very young age. Very young. And again, one after the other, those levels and ranks, the positions which he they were elevating until he comes to a rank, becomes the leader of the Islamic Revolution. And whatever we find today is all the movements, all these majalis wherever worldwide, a share of sawab goes to him automatically because the inception was from them. And all of that was due to that ikhlas. That is, the more sincere a person is, the more productive that action of his will be. His endeavor was to perform the divine duties which brought this lofty, him to this lofty position. A few days just before the demise of Marhum Ayatullah al-Islam Burujerdi, people they came to him and they found this old man, he is crying. Those who are present over there, they say that, why do you cry? You should be happy, even if you are dying. Because he was saying that it's my last moment, I'm departing from this world. They said that, why do you worry? You've taught so many students, you've written so many books, all these services you provided, so many mosques that have been built, this house in Mia of Qom, it was established, so much of efforts you had, why do you worry? this old man, he starts crying, bursted into tears. And then he recites this hadith, says, خلص العمل فإن الناقد بصير بصير. That is, your actions, they have to be sincere. Because that person who is checking, who is auditing the accounts, he is basir. He is aware of everything. Awareness of Allah, he sees what the action is, he sees into the niyyat, he sees into how this action was maintained. That naqid, that auditor, he is basir, he is aware. May Allah tabarak wa ta'ala help us in observing this ikhlas in our actions in the sacred month of Ramadan. May He give us the tawfiq so that we enhance and activate this ikhlas, sincerity in our performance. All those who have requested for du'as, all those who have passed away, all those who have wishes, hajab, especially those present in this majlis, all of their wishes and hajab be granted. If you have any questions, I'm here for a few minutes to answer.
Action has even a small percentage of shirk, like let's say 1% shirk, and then the rest is all for Allah, then it still will not be accepted.
The question is, if there was just a fraction of riya in an action, whether or not it will be accepted. We have both types of reports over here. That there is only that